Blog Talk Radio.
Inner healing is a worldwide community of people who believe healing comes from the inside, as well as all the answers needed to live a happy, healthy life. As such, I set the Inner Healers Radio, an online talk show on alternative medicine, to provide life guidance and help people connect through emotion with their natural inner state of health. With this radio and the help of all our guests and followers, we hope to create a space for sharing our lives online. Listen to your favorite spiritual and master teachers, authors, psychologists, channelers, healers, psychics, music therapists, and more. My name is Luciana Stiglitz. I'm the founder of Inner Healers, and I will be your host in this adventure. May you allow yourself to enjoy it.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to our Inner Healers Radio. My name is Luciana Stiglitz, and I will be your host today. Our topic for today is Write Your Light with Ambika Waters. Ambika's new project of Write Your Light invites spiritual writers to have their work carried by the Susan Mears Literary Agency, which is based in London, NYC, and Dubai. Ambika has been a client of this agency for 28 years. Susan Mears discovered her in 1990 and encouraged her to write about energy healing. 24 books and 27 years later, they're still working together. Ambika is the scout for spiritual books in the U.S. and around the world. She works with authors to upgrade their work, getting it presentable for the international book fairs where Susan presents her writers' work to the publishing community. There's a very specific format that is required for these presentations, and Ambika works with writers to assist them in achieving the highest level for their work. Ambika Waters is an award-winning, internationally recognized author of 24 published books. She writes on spirituality. Her books explore the chakras of the human energy system, the realms of angels, homeopathy, and homeopathic color and sound remedies. Innovative and creative, Ambika is director of the Institute of Life Energy Medicine and teaches homeopathy and energy healing online. Help me welcome Ambika. Hello.
Hello.
Good morning. How are you doing, my dear friend?
I'm
yes, I can listen to you perfectly.
Oh, good. Good.
It's
you sound like you're next
to have
door.
You here with us today.
Yes,
the sound
Thank
is
you
amazing
for having
today.
Me
yes.
Good.
Thanks for being with us today and sharing your light. So for those listeners who might be listening to you for the first time, how would you define yourself as a scouter for new writers?
Well, it comes from writing a lot. I've written 24 published books and several e-books. I'm a consummate writer. And I've written 8 books on the chakras. I've written 4 books on the angelic realm. I've written several books on homeopathy. And I've learned about what is required to write a book. It's some people say, what does it take to write a book? And I say, well, you nail yourself to a chair and you don't get up until you're finished. But it requires a lot of rigor. And there's something about spiritual books that demand being positive, uplifting, and clear. Spiritual books are not your good opinion. They're your experience. They're your knowledge put into words. And it's really essential that people understand. There is nothing worse than trying to read somebody and not being able to understand the message they're trying to convey. So spiritual writing has a rigor to it, and it's important that people who write spiritual books understand what that is if they want to get published by the big publishing houses of the world. And Susan Mears has taken my books to some great publishers, Penguin, Random House, St. Martin's Press, Godsfield Press, many, many publishers. I've never published by just one publishing house, and she is known for her work with spiritual books, mainly spiritual books. She's now moved into the realm of screenplay and spiritual films. and spiritual projects, but she's been doing this work now for 28 years, and before that worked for a publisher. She knows the book business, and she knows people who have an eye for a good book. I've sent her many, many authors. And she, this year she said, I want you to be my official scout. Find people who want to get their work published. Now, the way books get published is two proposals are sent to publishers, are handed over to them at the book fairs. One is a short form, and one is a very, very long form. I think the short form is actually harder to write than the long form because everything needs to go on a page. And that takes skill to be able to say exactly what it is you're doing and how you're going to do it. So what I, if somebody is interested in getting published and they want me to mentor them and guide them through the process, I charge a fee to read and assess the book. I have a scale that I follow for whether the book is well written, whether it's of interest, many, many different topics and categories in my scale, and I evaluate them on a 1 to 10 level, and I hand that over to the writer after I've finished reading and evaluating their work. And if I feel that it's got the possibility of being published, then we work on creating the short and the long form. And then Susan will take them into her agency upon my recommendation and work to get their book sold. And it's a process. It's a generally a long process. It requires patience. It requires perseverance. And it requires a methodology that, as I said, is rigorous on everybody's part. Nothing just slips through the cracks, not in publishing. So that's my new project and something that I only take one writer at a time. I'm a homeopath. I treat a lot of illness and pathology. I teach homeopathy. I have a product development company where we make products, homeopathic products for people and for animals. And I have my own writing. So I can mentor one person at a time. And some people already have a book that they've written and they want that looked at. But others are just struggling with the idea of formation, of how to form a book. They have something they want to say. They may have had a very enlightening experience they want to share. They may have a knowledge of something that can help heal the world. And it needs to be written in a clear, methodical, constant way. It needs to be very grounded so people can understand. When I first wrote, the very first book I ever wrote, which was on healing the chakras, I had a friend whose father was a wool merchant in the north of England. He was very grounded. He was not at all interested in spiritual books, but I asked him to read my book. I thought, if this man can understand what I've written, then anybody can understand what I'm trying to say here. So I gave him the book, and a few months later we met up, and I said, well, what did you think? And he said, I liked it. I read it twice. And that was gave me so much
really?
Confidence. Really?
Wow.
Yeah, that was, to me, that was, if he could understand, this man was in his 60s, a wool merchant, you know, he had nothing to do with the spiritual community at all. He was a good man and a kind man, but he read it twice and he loved it. So that gave me huge confidence that people could understand. When you're writing about the invisible, which is the realm of spirituality or the realm of noble ideas, you need to be very clear and you have to harvest out every bit of negativity that you've put in. Nobody wants to hear your opinions. They don't, because it pulls people in and it pulls them down. The idea of a spiritual book is to uplift the spirit and to help set people free, not tie them to your good ideas. It's a whole different realm than writing fiction or even writing other forms of nonfiction. And I love spiritual books. I love writing, and I think it makes me a good authority for people's books. I get sent a lot of books from all over the world, and I know what will fly and what won't. And I, you know, I'm pretty rigorous in my perusal of a book, how I look at it, how I read it, how it feels in my hand, and I'm respectful of the message people are trying to convey. So I hope that answers your question.
It definitely does. Thank you very much. So can you talk to us about your experience as a writer? Did you sense a call? Was it difficult at the beginning?
Well, I didn't really know what it was. I knew that I knew a lot about chakras and that I was using a pendulum to assess the movement of chakras in my clients. I was still a homeopathic student when I started working with chakras. And I knew that they contained the psychological issues that we all face in life as we mature and develop. I knew my material. I wasn't sure how to put it into form, although when you go with the chakras, you start at the bottom and work up. It was, that too was easy. But I had, Susan sold my first book to a small publisher in the UK, and I would go down to London. I lived up in the north. I would go down to London and go to their offices, and their editors who were working with my book would say, you know, you need an outline. Well, I had not written to an outline. They said it's so much easier. And I thought, oh, that sounds horrible to me. It just sounded horrible. Now I wouldn't even consider not writing to an outline. There were things I had to learn. I had to learn spell check. I had to learn word count. You know, I did a book called The Angel Oracle. It sold over 1 million copies worldwide and is still,
I have that one,
25 years later. Yeah, still flying. Still
I have
flying.
It.
And
it's
they
amazing.
Said, okay,
yeah.
You have to do word count. I said, what's word count? Where? How do you find word count? Was I going to go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, count the words? I didn't know you could find word count on a computer. So, you know, there was naivete in the beginning. And I really feel that I was guided and blessed, very, very guided, to the best publishers, people who understood I had a gift and that they just needed to flesh that out in me. So people were very kind. And one of my publishers in the beginning, it took me 8 months to write the first real solid draft. I gave it to her thinking it would be published in 2 weeks. And she called me in and she said, this isn't good enough. It's not good enough. I want you to take it. And even if it takes you a year, rewrite this book. People are going to read it and you want it to be the best it can be. Well, I was kind of insulted. There's a lot of pride involved in writing, a tremendous amount of pride. People don't want criticism, and that's a rule for me. Can you take criticism? You know, if you're going to hand over your precious baby, can you take some counsel on what might make this book better? So she was the publisher. This wasn't an editor. And I looked at her,
right.
And I thought, I swallowed it, and I went back. It took me another full year before that book was completed, and it was a good book at the end of the day. So I listen to these people. They know who will buy your books and who will come back and buy another book that you've done. So I teach now. I have a training class in homeopathy and energy medicine. And all those people from around the world who are in that course, they got to me through those books. There was something they read that resonated with something in their spirit, and they wanted to know more. So I know the power of the written word, not just the power of the spoken word, but I do know, for instance, in Hebrew, every Hebrew letter is supposed to touch the soul in a certain way, and that gives the language, biblical Hebrew, it gives it a sacred, very sacred resonance and vibration in the soul. Native American people also have the same thing with the sound of words, that words are sacred. I remember a Native American saying to me, the word for spoon in their language was the vessel that held the liquid of God. You know, everything was
beautiful.
Sacred. Yes, truly. And I feel the same with us. We need to make our words sacred. They need to impact the soul and the spirit of people who read the book, because that's how healing happens. In the beginning was the word, and not just the spoken word, but the power of the written word is tremendous. And I'd like to mentor people who feel they have something they want to share with the world that will make the world a better place. We are at a crossroads now where there is, whether you're going to take the right turn for yourself and your spirit, and books really help people. I don't know about you, but I'm a consummate reader, and I love what people have put into words, and I learn from books. I've always loved books my whole life. And if somebody has something they want to share with the world, please have them get in touch with me. My website is Ambika, A-M-B-I-K-A, at Ambika Waters, that's spelled A-M-B-I-K-A-W-A-U-T-E-R-S.com, AmbikaWaters.com. And you can go to my
yes,
website.
Yes, to all our listeners.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, to all our listeners, and because amazing. If you really find a way to have her help you with your books, you're going to be blessed, because that's like the kind of work that she does. You will really feel blessed.
Thank you. That's a lovely thing to say. Well, books are a blessing. And sometimes I'll read a book because the subject is interesting to me, and I'm editing, you know, while I'm reading. Oh, no, they didn't need this paragraph in here. It's been there. I read like an editor. And the idea of getting your book into print is very exciting, and I know that it's very precious for many people. I'm not so precious as I used to be. In the beginning, it was, you know, this was my baby, and I didn't want anybody touching with it or meddling it or editing.
Yeah.
Editors are funny people, and you always want to find an editor who has the same level of consciousness you do, because I found ideas are like mountains. They're mountain peaks, and you don't want somebody coming along and lopping off the top of the mountain. And some editors don't share your consciousness, and that's, it's important that you find an editor that's resonant with your level of consciousness. Somebody who can treat mm-hmm. your work like precious cargo and still give you some counsel. You know, one of the hard things is for me is repetition. I will repeat a point 100 times just to hammer it home. So one of the things I hear from editors is, you have repeated this so many times. Take it out, you know. Once or twice is enough, but no more. So I've had to learn not to be repetitious. And also I'm often asked for clarification. Well, what does this mean in terms of, for a layman to understand this? What does this mean? I once wrote a book, was asked to write a book on homeopathy, and I was very excited about it. And I sat down and I wrote for weeks, and it was just, I thought, the best thing I'd ever written in my whole life. I turned it into the publisher, and they said, this will never be published, not in a million years. This is too contentious. The things you are talking about are revolutionary. Nobody wants to hear this. I mean, they just came down on my head like with a hammer. And once I got over my pride, I thought, okay, write them the book they want. Learn to write the book they want. So I did. I wrote mm-hmm. the book they wanted, and it sold hundreds of thousands of copies, because it wasn't what I had. That's what I said. Nobody wants your good opinion. And that first book, which was, I thought, brilliant, was my good opinion. And I've learned, write the book that you're asked to write. But
So writing can be a very humbling experience, actually.
Very humbling. Very humbling, and you have to ask yourself, who are you doing this for? Who are you writing this book for? Is this for you? Is this for the general public? Is this for people who are sick? Is this for people who can understand spiritual concepts? Who's this book for? You know, are you going to write a children's book and then, you know, use words that they would never understand or concepts that are way above their level? Who are you writing for? And that's really important to know. And to be able to adapt your ideas to fit what a publisher wants to say. Nobody wants a lawsuit, trust me. Nobody wants, especially in the world of spirituality and healing, you just need to be very mindful, very conscious, and very clear. So that's my field. That's what I write. I write spiritually awakening books and books on healing. And I love what I do. I deeply love what I do. And if I can support somebody in getting their good work out, I would love to. That's why I call it write your light. Because this isn't write your good ideas. This is right from your bone, right from your soul.
Right, no. Right. It has to do with transcendence. So transcending you, transcending like that shadow part of your ego to
absolutely
really convey the message that you are receiving the call about. So, yeah. So,
yeah.
Do you think, in your experience, can anybody become a writer?
No. I think there are people that are truly meant to be writers. They're meant to be writers. Then they know it. They just don't know quite yet when or how or where. But no, I don't think everybody's a writer. But I do think everybody is a reader. I think people need spiritual books now. And if you look at some of the books on the market, they're decorated, they're colorful, they're eye-catching. They're not ponderous tomes that you struggle to understand. There's nothing worse than picking up a book and not understanding what's being said to you. And I've had that happen a few times by very illustrious writers, and I feel insulted. I want to be able to understand what you're trying to say. And I'll just put the book down and never pick it up again. It goes in the pile that goes to the used bookstore, you know. Not interested. I love clarity. I love metaphor. I love personal experience. I'm reading an interesting book now, and it's a bit repetitive and it's a bit dull, but the minute he starts talking about his personal experience, I'm gobbling it up. I just can't get enough of his personal experience and his process of how he came to these insights and realizations, which are profound. They're deeply profound. So I love when people share from the depth of their soul, and that's me personally, but I also think that's what people want. They want to know how somebody handled a challenge, how somebody learned to work with their inner guidance and grew from the experience of that, how you learn to listen to that intuitive voice that wakes you up in the middle of the night and says, you're going to write about fairies and gnomes and elementals. I remember going, what? What? You know, getting out of bed and going to the computer and writing down, I've got to write about this. Things come in dreams, and it's always fascinating. There's a wonderful homeopath from Ireland who came upon three major remedies used in the treatment of cancer, and they came to her through dreams. And I remember reading her article in the Society of Homeopaths journal in Britain, and I just if I'd known her, would have bowed down and kissed her feet, because many things come to me in dreams. Many clients show up in my dreams before they become my clients. Many ideas are filtered to me through dream states. And, you know, I'm knocked out when I hear that it's not just me and other people are having these wonderful experiences with spirit. So, yeah, I'm all about that.
Mm-hmm. So you mentioned the market. How is the current market for writers wanting to publish books on spirituality?
Well, the truth of it is, you're not going to become a millionaire and you're not going to retire. You know, people think that they pay a lot of money or that they can make a lot of money writing books. I think if I can get my roof repaired or take a little two-day holiday, I've done well for the year. That's why I'm a homeopath. I'm not a permanent writer. I just don't want to burn out my brain cells trying to make money as a writer. But I do write. It's very important to my development and to my health that I express myself as creatively as possible. I have a day job. I'm a homeopath, and I love what I do. And the market is is absolutely at its bottom right now. It's not high. Nobody's paying a lot of money, but they're paying. They will pay something. They often will pay in advance, and sometimes they don't. They'll wait until the money starts rolling in, and that's something new writers will have to understand. It depends on the strength of the publishing house, and that's why publishing houses now have all merged. Penguin Random House used to be two of the major publishers in the world, and now they're united because they can do better united than they can as independent entities. So it's not great right now. You know, you've got ebooks flooding the market, which are, I've written ebooks, and I do get royalties from Kindle, but it's not a lot. You're not going to retire. You're not. It's an addition to whatever your earnings are from your day job. Occasionally, you'll find people who do, you know, strike it out of the ballpark. Eat, Pray, Love, stunning book. Some of Carolyn Mace's books, stunning. Doreen Virtue, but not many, not many. But there's still room for good books. There's still room for good spiritual books. Mm-hmm. If you make it about the money, you're going to be disappointed. If you don't make it about the money and about getting the word out, the money will come. That's my true belief on money and writing. If you write from your heart and you write a wonderful book that people delight in, that it transforms their pain into a level of goodness and a willingness to participate in life, the money will come. And that's always been that. I say twice a year I win the lottery. I never know how much it's going to be, but it comes in twice a year. That's when they pay royalties. They pay them in March and October. So I'm blessed, and I'm grateful for whatever comes. Always. Mm-hmm. And Susan Years
And what would you say? Yes. What would you say it takes to become an award-winning, internationally acclaimed author like you?
Well, you don't set out writing a book thinking somebody's going to give you an award. You don't set off thinking you're going to be rich. You know, if you set off with those goals in mind, good luck to you. I just write the best that I can write. The book that won a big award was called The Angelic Year. It's a beautiful book. Not because I wrote it, but because the publishers, Carolyn Brown, took time and they took money and they invested in the book. And it is one of the most beautifully illustrated and laid out books I have ever seen. I am honored that my writing is in that book. It's beautiful. And it was picked for Book of the Year by the Center for the Book. And that, you know, I didn't think I'd win anything. I asked a friend to go to the dinner because I didn't want to go. And when the book won, she was flummoxed because she had to get up there and say something. I felt badly for her. But it was an honor to have that book received so beautifully. It's a stunning book. And just recently went out of print. We're hoping to get it into print again with a new publishing house soon. But you don't set out to win an award. You don't set out to get rich. If you do, write a cheap thriller. You know, what do they call them? Bodice rippers, you know. That's if you want to make money, spiritual books are not going to do it. Some cheap novel that somebody wants to read, like 50 Shades of Grey, you know, those are bodice rippers. And but not a spiritual book. Mm-hmm. You want a spiritual book to last. You want it to be on somebody's bookshelf for forever. I've had people write me from all over the world saying, thank you for writing that book. I read it to my mother when she was dying. Or thank you for writing that book. I can't tell you how it transformed my life. Or they write and they say, could I use some of this material in teaching a class on the chakras or teaching a yoga class? Absolutely. And thank you for asking. Thank you for asking me if you can use my material. So I just think you have to be steady on the ground and not be delusional about fame and wealth. It's delusional. If it happens, you know, you have a lucky angel on your side. And if it doesn't happen, then, well, write another book. No, get it out there. Get it out there.
So in, yes, it's mainly that you write because it springs from inside, so it's like an act of love, actually. So in the U.S., what are the main, in the U.S., what are the main difficulties a freelance writer faces when he or she wants to have his or her book published?
Everybody needs an agent. Nobody can field a book on their own. Nobody. You need an agent. That's what agents are for. So you need a good agent, and there's nobody better in my book than Susan Mears. I've been with her for 28 years, and I've met many agents. She's considerate, she's kind, and she gets the job done, and she knows everybody in the business. So you need an agent. That's the first thing. And if you're going to be freelance and that's what you want to do, then you need to get your work out there. You need to blog. You need to write magazine articles or newspaper articles. You need to get out there. You need to go to writers' conferences. I don't do that, but it's something I'm thinking I might like to do, to speak about writing, because it's a discipline. It's like learning to prepare for the marathon. That's what writing a book is for me. I just was given a contract in November, and they said, we need this by the middle of January, which is pretty unusual. I've heard people say we want it yesterday, but this was like yesterday on steroids. And I said, are you kidding? You want me to write during the Christmas holidays? They said, we need it. It's going to be translated into French, and it has to be translated, and the book's going to come out in October. So after a lot of negotiations, which Susan Mears handled, you don't handle your own negotiations. You either agree to them or not. She negotiated a very good contract, and I sat down. And I wrote for 4 solid weeks, every day, 8 to 10 hours a day. I ate high premium protein. I slept during the day, twice a day. I did yoga. I meditated for 3 hours before I even sat at my desk. It's a discipline that I've learned to develop and cultivate over the years. I've learned to unplug my phone and clear my calendar so that I can write. You know, for many years in the beginning, I wrote at night and at weekends. That's what I did. I was a homeopathic student in England, and that was what kept me sane and kept me happy, was writing. So I've learned how to build my life around my own form of self-expression. And I think it's important. You don't want to write when you're tired. You don't want to write when you're emotionally challenged. You don't want to write when you're upset or angry, believe me. It's like cooking when you're angry. You know, you'll get your guests sick if you write when you're angry or sad. You know that wonderful book, like Water for Chocolate, or like Chocolate for Water, I never remember which one it is, when the gal is cooking, she's cooking at the wedding, and she's crying into the cake batter, and everybody eats the cake, and they start crying. Well, it's the same with words. You need to be a clear channel when you write.
So how does your work with unpublished authors help them upgrade their work so that it can be presentable for international book fairs? We have 10 minutes left of the show. So could you please explain our listeners this?
Sure. When people write a book and they don't have it edited, I think the most serious mistake a writer can make is to not have their work externally edited. It's worth paying somebody to do that because you can't see your own mistakes. You think you're good, but you're not that good. And that's one of the trouble, I think, with self-published books. They just don't meet the level of rigor of a published book from a publishing house. There's just something, I don't know quite how to say it. It's just not up to snuff. So when let's say you've got a great message and a great story and you want to tell it, the best thing you can do is find a mentor who will read the book, and give you an assessment of on a scale. That's what I find. A scale is important. I've got about 15 points on my scale, and I go and I check them off. I make sure that everything is readable and understandable, non-repetitive. And sometimes somebody writes a story and they're not quite, it's not quite enough. It needs to be fleshed out. It needs to have, it's not just bare bones. I will say rewrite this story so that it's captivated my interest. If it's a story worth telling, you won't have any problems doing that. Write from the deepest voice you've got. That's an important thing to say to people who are writing for the first time. You need to cultivate your voice, a strong, resonant, high vibrational voice. And that's something I help people with. One of the things I did in the beginning, and I did for many years, for 10 years, was I took singing lessons. I had a very quiet voice, very soft voice. It doesn't carry well for public speaking, or it didn't at the time. But when you open that throat chakra, you're not just opening your speaking voice, you are also opening your writing voice. And knowing that you have a right to say what has to be said, it's hugely important, hugely important. So I work with people to help them develop their voice, to come to a level of rigor and high standard, something they can be proud of. And that's what that woman who was the publisher who said to me, this isn't good enough, you're going to need to rewrite it. She said, you want to write something you can be really proud of. And she was right. She was absolutely correct in saying that to me. And I'm grateful to her for having done it. It's that. You want the best, most polished, sophisticated book out there that says what you want to say. And to not hand a book over to somebody to read and I don't want to say criticize, because criticize means something pejorative, but to investigate what you're saying, to really take it in and work with what you're saying. And how would you add more to that, or how would you take away what doesn't need to be said? You know, one of the things, I do several edits on a book. I do maybe 10 edits on a book after I finish writing it. Sometimes I'll let a book sit for a couple of weeks on my desk. I don't even look at it. And I'll come back, and what I work to strip away is the negativity. Anything that's negative does not go in the book. And when I read people who are self-published, that's one of the main problems I see, is that they haven't harvested out the negativity. They don't even know how to do that. And I don't get much delight out of self-published books, unless they're friends who want me to read a book, and I do that out of friendship. And I'm not there to criticize their book. I'm there to support them. But that's what I would say to people. Hand over and be willing to pay somebody to read your book. It takes a long time to do an assessment of a book. So I have a fee scale, it's on my website, anybody can see that. In the beginning, be humble, and let people who are professional be willing to take you on as a mentee, so that, you know, even if you only write one book, it's the best possible book you could have written. And if you want to write more books, that you learn the process. Because they're getting stricter and stricter about who they take on as writers now. The publishing houses have not got excess reserves of money. They're looking for what's going to sell. And they may not be spiritual people themselves, but they know what will sell. And they don't have time to work with you. They don't. Many of the publishing houses, when I started, had in-house editors. They don't anymore. So you need to find an editor. You need to find somebody who will help you. I know a few people in this business besides myself. Pardon me. Any questions?
Yes.
Two more questions before we finish the show. The first question is, when does a book get published in several languages? And the last question is, once the book is published, what percentage of the sales goes to the author?
Oh, interesting. Well, books get bought at the international book fairs. There's one right now in New York. There's one at the end of March in London. The biggest book fair in the world is in Frankfurt. It's always the third week, I think the third week of October. There's a book fair that's starting in Dubai. This is when all the big publishing houses come together, all the agents take their writers' proposals, and this is when business happens. So the world writes, where money is made in book writing, is in the world writes. I write in English. Let's say at these international book fairs, there are publishers from Latin America, there are publishers from France, Germany, Italy, Korea, Russia. I'm published in like 14 languages. They sell the microfiche of the book, and then those countries have people who are good translators. They'll translate the books. The books generally come out twice a year. They come out in October for the Christmas market, and they come out in the spring for the summer market. That's when people read. I'm sorry, what percentage goes to writers? It depends on what kind of contract your agent is able to secure for you. It might be 1% or 2% of total gross sales. It may be 5% of gross sales. And after a certain amount, if you sell over 100,000, then it'll go up to 6 or 8%. It's what your agent is able to negotiate for you at the publishing house. And they're skilled. You don't ever want to negotiate your own contract. You'll never win. That's what Susan Mears does, and she does it brilliantly and has always done it brilliantly. She is ruthless. She's ruthless. And she doesn't take anything off of publishers.
So.
Yeah, she's brilliant. She's a beautiful and remarkable woman in her own right, and a horsewoman. She breeds horses, and she's been in the book business for 30 years, and I trust her with my heart and soul. And I've had opportunities to meet other agents who just don't come up to snuff. So you can Google Susan Mears, M-E-A-R-S, the Susan Mears Literary Agency. You can see who she is. And again, you can find me at Ambika at ambikawaters.com. That's AmbikaWaters.com.
Thank you, Ambika. So we have just 1 minute left. What last words would you tell our listeners about the benefits of your new project, Write Your Light, if they are writers who feel the call to become a published author, so that we can close this interview?
Ask questions. Don't be precious. If you have written something or you want to write something and you need some help, Ask for help. It's a sign of health to be able to ask for help. And ask questions. Learn to negotiate, because you're going to need to negotiate if you're going to get published. You're going to have to. It's an important part of publishing is the negotiations. You don't want to be resentful. You want to feel you're in the best hands possible, that somebody's on your side, that they support you, that they look out for your best interest, and they get that book out there. Sometimes publishers will just publish a book and they don't do anything. The book will just get on the back shelf somewhere. They don't advertise the book. They don't stand behind a book. Well, who wants that? I want publishers that are going to get me on every radio show in the world and get me on interviews and get me in magazines, and you want that. That's part of selling a book. And you've got to be willing to speak on radio shows and get out to conferences and go to Barnes & Noble and do book signings. I mean, all that is, and they will ask you, are you willing to do it? So I'll tell you something, that was not easy in the beginning, but I'm, you know, now I can speak anywhere. So you've got to be willing to promote your book, and you've got to be willing to stand behind what you've written. So, and you want somebody to watch your back. That's really what I'm offering, is a chance to help people and support them in the process of writing. If I think it's good enough and good enough to take to Susan, then I will be there to support people and seeing them through publication. And I think that's...
Thank you very much, Ambika, for being with us today. We unfortunately have to end the show. This is an amazing topic, and I'm sure the listeners now have very clear what is it that you can help them with and Susan too. And I really encourage our listeners to contact Ambika, because if you want to become, if you have this call, you're a writer, you like to write, and you really feel like you should get your work published, and because the amazing opportunity that you have to make your dream come true. So thank you very much, Ambika, for being with us today.
Thank
here.
You, Luciana.
It's been an amazing
Send me your
show.
Link and I'll put your link up on my website so people can hear it. Thank you, darling.
Sure.
All the best.
Sure. Thank you very much. All the best Bye-bye. To you, too. Thank you very much for being with us today. Bye-bye.
Always a pleasure.
And listeners,
Bye-bye.
You know that tomorrow... Bye-bye. Thank you. And listeners, you know that tomorrow we will be having Tapping Release for Humanity with Jen Ward. So see you tomorrow at 12 p.m. EST. Thanks for joining us today. Thanks for being with us. Bye-bye.